Overcrowding in homes on the Wind River Reservation is a real problem. In the early 2000s, the number of homes with more than six people living in them grew by almost 10% there. And the reason is there just aren't enough houses on the reservation. And as Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards reports as part of her series on the reservation housing shortage, there are a lot of hurdles for how housing developments are funded.
In the heart of the town of Fort Washakie on the Wind River Reservation, workers are putting the finishing touches on the Tygee Village, a low-income tribal housing development. Brian Mann is the deputy director of the Eastern Shoshone Tribal Housing Authority, and he's showing me around.
Do you mind if we walk over and kind of take a closer look at this community center? I don't know if we'll be needing hard hats here, but...
I think we're out of the hard hat zone.
Okay.
Mann says it's taken years to get the money to demolish the old housing development that was full of asbestos and lead paint and build this new one. 20 stylish single-family homes are arranged in a modern neighborhood. Eight families have already moved in. We tiptoe through the construction zone to the community center in the middle of the cul-de-sac.
The building has a round front with the nearly floor-to-ceiling windows. You know, in Native culture, the circle represents many things, the circle of life, and we try to implement that here.
The plan is to host events and classes here for the whole tribe, but renting a house at Tygee Village won't be easy. There are over 60 families on the waiting list right now.
The waiting list can take years, and when you look at the list, some people have submitted applications in the early 2000s and the mid-2000s.
The list got even longer as the process of funding the new development went on year after year.
And the main challenge was finding the dollars to make the Tygee project happen. That literally took 2 years of financial review.
Mann says applications for housing projects like this one are often highly competitive, pitting tribal housing projects against state ones. And the federal scoring process is often biased against rural housing projects.
You have to have a project that is within so many miles of conveniences, including stores, schools, access to healthcare, community facilities.
The closest cities to the reservation are Riverton and Lander, both small, under 10,000 people. Mann says after two attempts, the Eastern Shoshone finally succeeded at getting a $2.7 million low-income tax credit project, which gives investors 10 years of tax credits in exchange for money for low-income housing projects. And they've used successes like that one to leverage more capital. In 2014, they received a total of $6.4 million to build and remodel low-income housing for the tribe. Now, the Northern Arapaho is waiting to hear whether their proposed black coal housing project can get those same low-income tax credit funds.
In the business I'm in, you never have all the funds or resources you need because they're all competitive.
That's Northern Arapaho Tribal Housing Director Patrick Goggles. Goggles says his tribe is growing, and with 60% of his population now under the age of 20, they need to build bigger homes that can accommodate the cultural family traditions of the tribe. Homes with mini bedrooms and bathrooms where multiple generations can live comfortably. He says most of the grants and loans available are only for low-income homes, not working class.
There's your workforce. And they're pretty much the backbone of the Northern Arapaho tribe because they're the workers, whether they're single or dual family income, that take care of the relatives.
Leslie Wright is deputy director of the Wyoming Community Development Authority, the state agency that approves applications like the Low Income Tax Credit Program on behalf of the federal government. She says her agency doesn't have a good way to gauge the true housing needs of Wyoming in general, let alone the reservation. They only know there's a need when developers approach them with proposals. But most developers suggest projects for the upper income bracket. Federal programs help cover lower income needs, but there's a gap in the middle, right where those backbone workers fall.
That gap has been really difficult to fill, and gosh, I wish we knew how to do that.
Technically, the government is obligated to figure out how to do that. In 1998, Congress passed the Native American Housing Assistance and Self-Determination Act, which promises tribes, quote, affordable housing in safe, healthy environments. The Native American program through Housing and Urban Development prides itself on using a formula developed in collaboration with tribes to fund some of its housing projects, rather than the usual competitive approach. Heidi Frechette is the Deputy Assistant Secretary for HUD's Native American Program in Washington, D.C. She says the problem is inflation has been eating away at the $650 million a year appropriated to keep up with Native housing needs.
And with the aging housing stock, we're finding that folks are using more and more of their funds to rehab or repair existing homes and have less buying power and ability to construct new homes.
Northern Arapaho Patrick Goggles says quality housing for all economic levels of the Native community is fundamental. And it's not just because the feds are legally obligated to tribes.
As a matter of fact, I'm a federal taxpayer. I expect the federal government to allocate federal dollars to this reservation because I pay those federal taxes. That's a given for me.
The Northern Arapaho find out if their Black Coal housing project qualifies for the low-income tax credit funding later in September. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Melody Edwards.